Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, and it's the chapter 10. Isaiah and the chapter 10. We're going to read from the verse 24. Verse 24. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him, that is the Assyrian, according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. As his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. Now, boys and girls, I want to point out something that's of great importance. And that is that when you're reading your Bible, you will discover that the actions of the devil against the people of God repeat themselves time and time again. We can say, I do believe, that the devil never changes his tactics. The devil never changes his tactics. He doesn't say, you know, I better come up with another plan. He always follows the same plan. The reason for that is that the devil is a wicked, evil spirit who is controlled by his own sinfulness. And he has only one target in sight, and that is the overthrowing of God. That's all the devil wants, and that's all the devil thinks about, and that's all the devil ever tries to achieve. You remember in the Garden of Eden, he came to Eve to tempt her. And the first word of the devil to Eve was, you'll find it in Genesis chapter 3 in the verse 1. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. And the essence of that simple little phrase was, are you sure about what God has said? And are you sure that what God said is right and proper? He's questioning God. He's trying to undermine the authority of God. I remember, and the boys will enjoy this, I remember watching a program about a man who lived in the north of England, and he was one of these jack-of-all-trades. There was hardly anything but he would tackle. He was an engineer. He was forever poking about old steam engines as well as diesel engines. And he even worked as a steeplejack and would take down big, tall chimneys. Sometimes he would take them down by attaching a ladder all the way to the top and going up there with a hammer and chisel and sitting on the chimney, way up there, and just knocking the bricks out of the chimney and throwing them down the chimney. He did that because the chimney was in an area with houses and buildings all around it, so he couldn't just toss it because it would squash houses. So he just sat on the thing and chipped away at it and knocked layer after layer of bricks off it until he came to the ground. But he also had another method of taking down large chimneys. I mean, I'm talking about a chimney that at the bottom was as big as this room. As big as this room. A huge structure. And it went up, 5, 6, 7 times as high as our church building. And what he would do was, at the base of it, huge, round structure, he would knock a hole, quite a hole, almost half the way round the chimney. Now, the chimney was still standing. There was enough of it left to hold it up. Then he would put in a very, very strong piece of timber, just propping up that hole that he had made, running from the top of the hole down to the ground. Then when he had that prop in, he would chip more of the edges of the hole so that now the chimney was resting on that huge timber prop. Then he would gather himself a lot of firewood and tires, and he'd build this round the prop, and he lit a big bonfire to burn the prop. And it might take an hour of burning, but it was most amusing to watch him because he had done this so many times he knew. And he was standing pretty close to the fire, watching it burn and listening. And then he said to the cameraman, it's about to go, let's run. and the pair of them ran for their lives away from the area, and sure enough, the prop was burned through almost and it began to crumble, and of course the chimney fell in the direction, or towards the side, where he had cut the hole, where the prop was. When the prop went, down went the chimney. And he brought it down, you see, by undermining it, taking out that hole, and thus weakening the chimney, and then when the prop was burned away, down came the chimney. That's what the devil does. He undermines God. He undermines his word. He undermines his authority. And you have it there in the very beginning of the Bible. Yea, hath God said. Are you sure that that's what God said? Are you sure that what he said is right? And the devil has never changed that tactic. He's still doing it. Now, because of that, because the devil never changes his tactics, God's response to the devil never alters. I mean, if there's an old cantankerous bullock over there in that field, and it's forever trying to get out, and it always tries to get out at the same place, well, the farmer doesn't have to go around the whole field and strengthen the fence and make sure there are no gaps in the hedge. He just has to concentrate on that one place that the bullock is forever trying to get out of. And so God, in combating the devil, is ever responding to the same tactics by the devil. And so you find God repeating his actions against the devil. And that's why in the passage that we just read, we had references to this truth. I'm going to just read from verse 24 again, and I want to then point out to you the evidence that God never changes his responses, because the devil never changes his tactics. Are you listening? Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. That's Isaiah chapter 10, the verse 24. The Assyrian, great enemy of Israel, engaged in an invasion of the land and seeking to bring the land into captivity, he's going to act in the same way as the Egyptians did way back before the days of Moses. So God says he will attack you and hate you and seek to abuse you after the manner of Egypt. In other words, the spirit that there was in old Pharaoh, the hatred, the bitterness towards the people of God, it'll be the same spirit in this Assyrian. I tell you, the devil never changes. He may pop up here and he may pop up there, but when he does pop up, he's always attempting the same thing. Let's read on then. Let's read verse 26. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him. Here's God's answer. Here's God's reply. Here's God's response to this Assyrian, who's going to attack Israel in the same spirit as did the Egyptians. He will raise up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. Now, you've got to do a little research when you're reading your Bible. And you've got to say, well, what does that refer to? The slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. What does that refer to? Well, God's referring to an incident that had taken place in earlier history. The life of Gideon. The life of Gideon. And Gideon had overcome the Midianites, by the help of God, of course, at the rock of Oreb. And what God did against the Midianites, he's going to do against the Assyrians. Don't you see what I'm saying here? The devil's tactics don't change. He's forever attacking in the same fashion, trying to get the same outcome. Well, God replies again and again to these attacks in basically the same fashion. And what he did in the days of Gideon, he's going to do again in the days of this attack by the Assyrian against Israel, against Judah. And I'm underlining this because, you see, I've been trying to show you that in the life of Elijah and his confrontation with the prophets of Baal and the evil king Ahab, you have a picture of what's going to happen at the end of the age when the Lord Jesus comes again. Because there is this repeating and repeating and repeating by the devil of his same tactic. And God responds in a similar fashion every time. Verse 27, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, God here points out, before it ever happens, the path that the Assyrian will take as he attacks Jerusalem. And again, boys and girls, not only should you read your Bible with a concordance close to hand, but read your Bible with a map close to hand, a Bible map. Most Bibles have maps at the back of them. And you can look up these places. Maybe some maps in the Bibles are not detailed enough, but it's worth your while to find yourself a Bible atlas that will give you these places, and you can follow the path of the Assyrian. And I'm telling you this, it's the same path that the Antichrist in future days will travel. And it's information like this given us by God that enables us to identify the Antichrist. Because when we see one who is notorious and wicked and sinful and defiant of God beginning to travel the same route, we can then conclude, this is what God foretold. This is the person that God said would come at the end. And he's following the same path as the Assyrian did years ago, centuries ago, who followed the same spirit of opposition and hatred of Israel as did the Egyptians. And there is this repeating and repeating by the devil, and this response by God that never really changes. Verse 28, he has come to Aath, he has passed to Migron. At Michmash he hath laid up his carriages. They are gone over the passage. They have taken up their lodgings at Geba. Ramah is afraid because of the passing of this great army. The people in that area are scared out of their lives. Gibeah of Saul is fled. The people have run away. Lift up thy voice, O daughter of Galim. Cause it to be heard unto Laish, O poor Anathoth. Madmea is removed. The inhabitants of Jebim gathereth themselves to flee. See the panic there is in these little towns and villages as the mighty army is heading towards Jerusalem. As yet shall he remain at Nob that day. Nob is just on the very outskirts of Jerusalem. I've told you before, when Mr. Toms and Mrs. Toms, myself and my wife, and Dr. Douglas visited Jerusalem, we stayed in a hotel on this hill, Nob. It was very significant. And I have pictures taken from the hotel, and you're just looking out over Jerusalem. There you can see where the temple site was, now occupied by a Muslim mosque. And over there, there's the Mount of Olives rising up. And at its base, you can make out the Garden of Gethsemane. And all this would have been visible to the Assyrian as he came to that very same spot. He remained at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. So he's going to stand, you see, on this hill of Nob and look over Jerusalem, shake his fist and say, I'm going to destroy you. Can't you see him? That's what the Assyrian did. And that's what Antichrist is going to do. But see how it ends. Verse 33, behold the Lord of hosts. God adds that second title, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. He's going to take the field, if I might use that phrase, against the Antichrist, as he took it against the Assyrian. The Lord of hosts shall lop the bow with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. God's going to answer the Antichrist, even as he answered the Assyrian. Can I just read a few verses from 2 Kings chapter 19? Because there you have what happened. The Assyrian, when he followed the path that we have just read about in Isaiah chapter 10. 2 Kings and the chapter 19. Nice to see you older ones looking it up. God says, and he's talking about this same being. Verse 32, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city. Oh, he'll stand on the hill of Nob that overlooks the city, but he'll not come into it. He plans to come into it. He plans to flatten it. God said he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. That is, the way they used to destroy cities was to build a ramp up against it, you see, by which they could climb up over the walls, a bank. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend the city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That is, when Israel arose, they discovered 185,000 Assyrians had been slain by the Lord. And what he did away back then, he's going to do again. When once more the devil attempts to destroy the purpose of God, the people of God, the honor of God. This is why when we are reading the Bible, we must watch out for pictures. Pictures in past events that give us a view of how things will be in the future. How things will be in the future. Now, I didn't get very far this morning. I wanted to note with you how that when Elijah was up there on Mount Carmel, he could overlook that great plain where Antichrist would assemble his armies and then begin that march that we've just read of through the villages. We've just read of following the same path as the Assyrian. Because you see, the devil never changes his tactics, boys and girls. And God responds to every attack of the devil in a similar fashion. So we can see in the confrontations between God and the devil and his agents in the past a picture of how it will be in the future. You look out for this when you're reading your Bible. You look out for these pictures and you will build a knowledge, build up an understanding of what is going to happen in the future. As you study what God has done in the past. Well, time is more than enough. So let's just close with a wee word of prayer. Oh God, I pray that the good seed of your word will find a lodging place. In the hearts, in the minds, in the memories of the boys and girls. There will be a grasping, an understanding of these glorious truths. And as they read their Bible, may they become caught up in that search for the pictures that God has given us of times to come. And of the Lord Jesus gloriously triumphing over his enemies. Bless the boys and girls today and all that concerns our school, we ask in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen.